Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to Crypto Nights. We are so excited to have you as a guest speaker on our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really excited to be here. It's a beautiful day, great time to be alive, especially if you're involved in the world of cryptocurrency.
I like your enthusiasm. We share it. So can we start off by getting a little bit about your background, Mike?
Sure. You know, let's go all the way back to when I was 10 years old. No, I'm only kidding. You know, so, you know, let's just kind of like cut it off and make sense for your listeners. You know, how did I get involved in the world of cryptocurrency? Let me first start off by saying, and I got to stop saying this because at some point it's going to flip. You know, I tell people, say, look, I'm not an expert in cryptocurrency. So who am I to go out there and start talking about cryptocurrency? I'm not a tech guy. I'm an attorney by trade. You know, obviously I've written a bunch of different books, but you know, why am I out there talking about cryptocurrency? You know, and I started asking myself that question too, when I first started. But really what happened for me was, you know, I've been fortunate enough to, because of the books that I've written, because of the businesses that I've built, to be in rooms with, you know, very, very influential people. Literally, I've been in rooms with billionaires, and over the past year or so, I started hearing people talking about this term called Bitcoin, right? I didn't know what Bitcoin was. And then I started hearing even more people smarter than me talking about this thing called blockchain technology. And it just, you know, every meeting I would go to or every event that I would speak at, I would hear these people talking about this. And I would try to add value to the conversation and nod my head like I knew what I was talking about when in fact I didn't. And, you know, it really kind of came to a head in August of last year, late August, early September. I was at the Wynn Hotel at the Wynn Towers. It's a private area at the Wynn. I was with some high net worth guys. Steve Wynn walked by. It was kind of surreal for us. We're talking about Bitcoin, and one of the guys that I was with kept telling the waitress every time she came over and brought us drinks, he kept telling her, hey, any of the tips we give you, you should take it and you should buy Bitcoin with it. And I was agreeing with him and same thing, but I didn't really know what it meant, you know? And so I came home and I said, I got to understand this. I need to learn about this stuff. And I started learning about Bitcoin, and then I just, you know, I took the leap and I said, you know, let me just buy a little bit of this. I didn't even know what I didn't know how to, I've never traded anything before. I've bought stocks really, you know, once in a while. I have a 401k. I don't play in the stock market. I don't trade. It's not really my thing, but I bought it and I started trading it and I started learning about it. And it really just kind of started to get me excited. But the thing that really got me excited was from the first standpoint was when I started talking about it on my personal Facebook page of all the things that I've sold throughout the years, including my books. You know, when you try to, you know, hit like, you know, my books, you know, 3-time Wall Street Journal, USA Today bestsellers, when you try and get to those things, it doesn't just happen. In other words, you have to go out and ask people to buy it and things like that, you know. It's like pulling teeth to have my own family members. Hey, Ma, can you buy a copy of my book? Right. The interesting thing was I started talking about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, and I started getting inundated from, you know, quote, friends on Facebook, people that are, you know, that are in my inner circle, people that I've grown up with, say, Mike, I want in. How do I get in? What do I do? Can you buy it for me? All these other things. And I couldn't believe the response. And it was really kind of mind blowing. So then as that started to progress, I started to realize people started asking me questions like, what's this? How do I do this? How do I open a wallet? Like all these things that I kind of knew the answers to, you know? And as a marketer and as a business person, I said, wow, there's a great opportunity here to help people and to potentially make money. From there, I started actually, when I started learning about crypto, I said, what's this whole thing about mining, right? So I started mining. I went out and started buying these ASICs. I was buying them on eBay for like $6,500 a piece. It was insane. I'm buying them. I'm plugging them in. I have a giant call center. There's no seats there anymore. I overflow my calls to different call centers here in the States. So I don't even need the space. So I started plugging these things in and they started making money. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty wild. And then I started buying more and more of them, growing it out to the point where I had essentially two locations. And as I'm doing that, more and more people, Mike, how do I get involved? You know, can I do mining from home? And so I started getting excited about that. But there's one more thing that I just want to briefly, you know, also mention. And so, you know, my business is we process millions of dollars on an annual basis with credit card transactions, you know, and I sell dietary supplements. I'm an attorney by trade. You know, I run the cleanest business you can imagine within the world of supplements. You know, you're at the mercy of these merchant processors. In other words, if something goes wrong with them, it all comes down to you. It's a snowball effect, okay? And I've had it happen to me before, and it happened to me again in September of 2017, where one of my big merchant processors went down because they got whacked by MasterCard, and then they come down and they just start hitting everybody else. They don't care who you are. They don't care that you have a family. They don't care that you have kids. They don't care that you have, you know, employees. They just shut you down. They grab your money and shut you down without notice. Okay. And that happened to me to the tune. And by the way, this isn't the first time it's happened. And it happened to me to the tune of almost $1 million. And all of my accounts started shutting down. Now, if I can't process credit cards, I'm out of business. Now, here's the good news. I just started learning about cryptocurrency. I just started learning about the fact that people can pay each other, you know, this peer-to-peer network where you and I, because we know each other or because you're a customer of mine, we can cut out that third party. We can cut out the banks and you can pay me in cryptocurrency and then we don't have to worry about anything anymore. I don't have to worry about things, what they call chargebacks. In other words, customers who charge back the transaction because maybe they saw their credit card statement and they erroneously charged it back because they thought it was something else. And they didn't even mean to. I mean, I've had customers charge stuff back. Customers that have been with me for 10 years inadvertently charge something back, and they didn't mean to. Once it happens, it's like sending Bitcoin. It's irreversible. They can't fix it, you know, but it negatively impacts my business. And so when I started to see that I had options and that it's better for people, I just continue to get more and more excited. And then I just went all in. So again, I got a mining operation. I've written a book about it. You know, I'm showing people how to get involved in it. And here we are today.
That is such an exciting background. That's a fantastic backstory. Thank you for sharing that with us. So what is your, because you literally, your background was different. You're not a technologist. I can claim I have a PhD in computer science, right?
So I guess you are then.
I can claim to be a geek. So for me to get in and understand the technology part of it was relatively easier. But I didn't get into it because I ignored it for several years before I got it in 2016. So the point I'm trying to make is, what would you advise a person who doesn't know anything about technology and probably has heard about Bitcoins or has heard about cryptos? And maybe even saw the wallet address and got scared. So what do you recommend for the newbie to get in?
Yeah, I'll give you an analogy. Okay, in my first book, Ask More, Get More, I talked about how one of my favorite jobs of all time was I got a job working in the kitchen at Chuck E. Cheese's here in the United States. And actually, Nolan Bushnell, the founder of Atari and Chuck E. Cheese's, endorsed my book later on. But that's a whole other story. But when I first went there, I knew nothing about the food industry. I knew nothing about how to make a pizza. I didn't know how to make dough. I didn't know how to weigh things out. I didn't know the safety issues. I didn't know any of that stuff. I was 14 years old. I actually forged my birth certificate to get a job there because I grew up poor. And that's, again, it's a whole nother story. But by the time I left, I was running the kitchen. Okay. So it's really no different. You know, again, I'm not a tech guy. And when I went to law school, I didn't understand the law either. I didn't understand Latin either. But because I saw value one in graduating law school and I saw value in learning how to become more valuable to my employer, Chuck E. Cheese's. So I wanted to learn everything I could about how to make the pizza. Again, it sounds so simple. I approach everything the same way. I approach Bitcoin and blockchain the same way. And by the way, I said still so much to learn, but I was like, all right, I see this. I get it. I see, you know, some of the biggest multinational corporations, some of the most highly acclaimed people within the world of technology are in fact getting involved in it. And I said, well, if these guys are into it, then there's got to be something. So I just said, I made it my mission to learn about it. And then once you really realize, I'm a simple guy. Okay. I have my JD. I don't have my PhD. Okay. And JD is, you know, it's not easy to get it, but you know, it's the law, you know what I mean? It's words, you know what I mean? So I, you know, if you gave me some sort of mathematical equation, my eyes would just gloss over and I wouldn't know what to do. My daughter's 12, she's in sixth grade and I can't even help her, you know, with her math. And a lot of this stuff is in fact, of course, math based, but if you study it and break it down simply, it's not that complicated. You know, when you think about the blockchain technology, it's just not that complicated. And once I realized that, and by the way, I'm still kind of refining how I understand it and how I can explain it to people, but it's just not that complicated. It's really, really simple. And just like anything else too, like you said, that big, long alphanumeric code, it's called something else. I forget what it's even called. You know, it's just all these different letters and it's like capitalized and numbers and this whole thing. And it looks so intimidating. It's like anything else in life. You know, if you decided, and by the way, in 2014, Bitcoin was introduced to me. I avoided it like everybody else because I didn't understand it, because I didn't want to look stupid. That's just a reality, right? But here's the thing. Looking stupid is far more expensive than not paying attention to it and learning about it now, because 20 years from now, you don't want to be that person. I talk about it all the time, where you look back on life and say, if I'd have only done it, if I only listened to Mike on that podcast, or if I only, you know, picked up that book, or if I only maybe watched that video, whatever it is, if I had only done that, my life would be so much different. We are living in this moment right now that's actually bigger than the creation of the internet. So if you are alive, if you are awake, if you have any sort of desire to grow, whether it be financially, emotionally, academically, you're living in it right now, and it's the biggest moment of our lives. That's why I'm so excited, because I graduated college in 1997. I mean, my first email I sent my senior year in college, right? So the internet was still kind of in the beginnings. I was still poor because I grew up poor. I graduated college. I needed a job right away. And even then, when the internet started to really take hold, I was still poor. So I couldn't take advantage of that. Any sort of real estate boom that's happened throughout the years, because I grew up poor, it was never an opportunity for me. This is it. The average everyday person can do it. You know, I have my phone right here. I know we're videoing anymore, but I have my phone right here. If I wanted to buy Bitcoin right now, I could. If I wanted to buy something else, I could, just with my phone. I don't need anybody else to do it for me. That didn't exist years ago. It exists now. So I say to people who are afraid of that stuff, pay attention, don't be afraid, and get involved.
Fantastic. Great advice. I guess they would do the normal stuff. They'll start Googling about it. They'll start figuring it out. They'll start watching some videos. But do you have any good starting points for the first timer? And then maybe we can get into slightly more advanced topics next.
Uh-oh, advanced topics. I mean, you're making me nervous now. I'm not coming on your podcast to pitch my book, but, you know, I did write a book called Crushing Crypto. It's really, really simple. I've written a bunch of different books. I wrote the book Crushing Crypto so that you can break it down, so that you can understand it. So if people, you know, want to learn about it, here's another reason why I wrote it, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of charlatans out there. There are a lot of people that are trying to capitalize it. Am I making money by selling my book and other things related to it? Absolutely. We live in a capitalist society. However, I wanted to make sure that I got people the right information as best I could by even talking to people like you and talking to others and then doing the research myself. I have a team that has also helped me out. I put together a really, really simple book. So, I mean, people can just go to my website. It's joincrushingcrypto.com. Pick up the book. I have a package where I give you $5 in free Bitcoin. And people say, well, why do you do that? And I do that. I give people $5 in free Bitcoin. For a couple of reasons, you know, from a marketing standpoint, psychologically, it gets people excited. But really, the reason why we really do it is because the only way you're going to get that $5 in free Bitcoin is you have to have a wallet, right? So I'm going to give you $5 in Bitcoin on that transaction, but if you don't have a wallet, you're not getting it right then and there. So what do you need to do to get that? Well, you need to take a few baby steps and learn how to do it. And we show people how to do that. So I say that, you know, that's what I say to people, you know, go to my website, joincrushingcrypto.com, pick up the book, get some free Bitcoin, and then get started. And then from there, it's really up to you. I mean, I'm a sales guy. I'm honestly not really trying to sell a bunch of people stuff, but I just want people to understand that that's why I started doing it. If you just Google Bitcoin, you're going to get overwhelmed.
That's exactly why I asked you for a starting point, is we all need a foothold to start off with. So it's joincrushingcrypto.com.
Right. Yeah, or you could just Google me. I mean, you could just Google Michael Alden, and you'll find my website, my website, you know, for my books and stuff like that, and you can click through there. But joincrushingcrypto.com is the site where, you know, I have my book. I have some information there. I have some testimonials where people can just learn a little bit about it. I also created a community too that's tied to that as well, where, you know, we're creating content, valuable content. I just did one called 10 Under 10. which was, you know, 10 cryptos under 10 cents. I'm not a big fan of these, you know, inexpensive like coins, but a lot of people ask me, hey, how do I, you know, how can I buy some stuff that's inexpensive? So, you know, I wrote, you know, I did 10 under 10 for 10 days. I didn't recommend any of them. In fact, the last one I did was Bitcoin, which just went from 700% down to 1 cent. You know, but I did that because I wanted people to see why. And I wanted people to understand that this is the world of crypto. So it was the last one that I highlighted. I didn't recommend it, but I just wanted people to see, hey, you know, this is what they're doing. You know, they started in 2012. They're actually not that new. You know, whether or not it's a pump and dump thing is still left to, you know, people not really sure, you know, but I just wanted people to see that this world is volatile and you need to understand it and you need to also, and by the way, you know, a lot of this stuff of this volatility and a lot of these things that happen with, you know, price increases or decreases, especially even with Bitcoin, most of it is predictable. That's what people don't understand. They say, oh, well, no one knows why Bitcoin dropped or whatever. And I'm like, well, no, if you pay attention, which I basically tell people to do, if you want to, you can predict it pretty fairly easily.
So how would you predict it? For example, given where Bitcoin is today, how would a person go about predicting where will it be in a, so maybe you have to define for our listeners what you mean by predicting.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So, you know, I had Ronnie Moaz on my podcast. He's a, you know, he's one of the top, you know, financial analysts in the world. You know, he has his master's in finance, I think. And so, you know, and you have your PhD in science and I have my JD. So, you know, I'm not a financial analyst. You know, I always tell people that I don't. So, you know, when you think about predictability, again, I'm not a financial analyst. You know, I mentioned you even early before we went live. You know, I had a guy on my podcast who's a, you know, he's one of the top experts within this world. He's, you know, has his master's in finance. You have your PhD in computer science. You know, so I'm not that guy, right? So I look at charts and I look at the Fibonacci, you know, scale or the 200-day moving average. It's just not my thing. But what I really do look at is I look at what's going on in the world. I look at things like, you know, the news. And I also try to, you know, cut through all of that because a lot of times because, you know, this is a worldwide thing, a lot of times by the time it gets here, it's like that classic that game, the telephone game. By the time it gets here, by the time it comes from, you know, India to here, you know, when the finance minister says, well, you know, it says, hey, you know, what we're really looking at this and we're potentially going to regulate it. By the time it gets here, it's India is shutting down Bitcoin and, you know, the world, the sky is falling, right? And so then what happens is Bitcoin plummets. In February, the example I wanted to give, in February, I was actually in Aruba and I watched this happen where Bitcoin, I think it was at 9,000, it dropped all the way to 6,500 in less than like 3 days. And it was obvious why it was happening. It was happening because it was one of the first times, first public hearings, at least, that the United States government, the Senate, essentially, was going to meet about cryptocurrency, okay? And so it plummeted, right? But then when you watched it, like I did, because I'm in this world now and I was paying attention to it, and when you saw the head of the CFTC essentially become a superhero for the world of cryptocurrency, guess what happened? It started to go up again. And then when you started hearing some senators saying things like, there was a senator, I think he's from Kentucky, he said, you know, hey, look, I made money in the 80s in the wireless industry when everyone said, who would want this wireless device? Why would anybody want to carry around the phone? Didn't make anything. He goes, I've made millions as a result of it. He goes, he said this. This is bigger than that. And so if you pay attention to really what's going on in the world, that is probably the easiest way to predict what happens. Is it foolproof? No, nothing is foolproof. Nothing is 100% predictable. But you can, you know, if you're paying attention to it, you can kind of see what happens. You know, if there's a, you know, like, you know, people worried about hacking or you know, just in South Korea, one of the big exchanges was just raided again for the second time for, you know, due to fraud. When you see things like that, that can have a negative impact. So news in this world definitely has a negative impact on it. So, Warren Buffett is not a fan of cryptocurrency, obviously, you know, but sorry about that. So he's not a fan of cryptocurrency. But he says, when people are fearful, be greedy, you know? So that's what I say, you know, I believe in that philosophy and here's why I believe in that philosophy as it relates to cryptocurrency is because I believe in cryptocurrency. Now, if you don't believe in cryptocurrency, then that doesn't make sense for you. But you have to believe in cryptocurrency because it's just not going anywhere.
So that's, and many of us are in long, Mike. I know there are people who want to trade more short term, but many of us are in, we just literally hodl it forever, right?
Right.
So let's move on to when I said advanced, and I heard your comment.
That's all right. Listen, listen. You throw anything at me, I'll try and answer it.
So, yeah, we talked about Bitcoin. What about others? Maybe Ethers or Monero or Zcash, some of the major cryptos. But also, what about the tokens and the initial coin offerings and pre-token sales and all of that? So what is your take on them? So
here's the thing about ICOs, and this is what I love about an initial coin offering. So go back to that time when I talked about, you know, when the internet boom was created and IPOs really became a big thing. I tell a story in one of my advertisements where I remember what it was like when the NASDAQ hit 5,000. I was actually studying for law school and I had the television on in the background. Probably shouldn't have, but I did. And I remember what it happened. I remember when it hit, and I remember saying to myself, man, I wish I would have had an opportunity to buy into that AOL IPO, America Online, which was the largest hosting service. They were the largest email service, and they were also one of the largest search engines. That was one of the first that was created. It got bought out by Time Warner. It was a big deal. And then all these other ones too, you know, and all these other stocks like Oracle and all these other ones that still even exist today. I didn't have that opportunity to get involved because the initial private offering of some of these big ones, IPOs, one of the big ones that I recently remember is Snapchat, right? Okay. You know, I guess I would be within the top 1% within the world here in the United States, which doesn't really mean much, but I wasn't offered any sort of opportunity in the IPO of Snapchat. One, because I don't have a brokerage account, because I just don't. But even if I did, unless I had, you know, tens of millions of dollars sitting in a bank account, they probably wouldn't offer that to me. So initial public offering should be called an initial private offering because the public is never offered anything, right? But with an ICO, what I love about the ICO is that anybody can get involved. Even right now in the current regulatory framework, which seems like right now it's starting to loosen up a little bit. Even right now with the SEC, the CFTC, and all these other government agencies with an acronym that you don't even know about are getting involved, it's still a great opportunity for people. Now, here's the thing about an ICO. There's a lot of, quote, scams out there. And I think people use the word scam as too broad of a brush, and I'll tell you why. Because what people don't understand, and this is what I am an expert in business, what people don't understand is that most of the businesses that people start, including the ones that I've started throughout my career, don't work. Okay, so an ICO generally is a mechanism by which a company, an organization, an entity, whatever you want to call it, because they're setting up all these different things, essentially does a raise. Okay, they're doing this initial coin offering so that they can raise money through the mechanism of crypto so that they can go out and accomplish a particular task or put forth an idea and try and turn that idea into a reality or take the idea and make it better or improve upon it, right? That's generally what happens. Here's the thing. Again, just like regular business, most of it isn't going to work. And when that happens, people who lose their money then call it a scam. Now, there are straight up real scams that happen, but there are straight up real scams that happen every day in every type of industry. So I think people are too quick to say that an ICO is a scam. And I think the government even recognizes that. The government is just trying to protect people here in the United States. You know, when I was in law school, I took a consumer protection class, and it's a true story. And my professor was the head of the Eastern Division of the FTC, and she drew a line on the board. And on the left hand side, it said stupid people, and on the right hand side, it said very smart people. And then in the middle, it said, you know, moderate intelligence. She says, who do you think the FTC protects? And on the left hand side, it was stupid people. And that's just. And circle that. That's just the realities of it. So when people get worried about also the regulatory framework that's going on, it's just there to protect people from bad actors. They're always going to be bad actors. So when to answer your question, I'm trying to is I think an ICO is a great opportunity, but just like anything else, you need to put forth, you know, some basic discipline. Read the white paper, okay? I've invested in one ICO. I won't tell you what it is because I don't want people to get, you know, I invested in one ICO and then I was at a conference and the guy said, well, that's a scam. And I said, well, I guess I lost my money then. You know what I mean? I read the white paper. I thought what they were doing is innovative. I knew what they were doing would be very difficult to implement. But if it is implemented, then it could be a big thing. And I thought it was kind of a cool thing. And so that was, so I invested in it. So people can invest in ICOs. They just need to be careful. So what I tell people, some basic advice is, you know, read the white paper, which is like sometimes like, you know, watching paint dry, especially if you're not a tech guy like me. You know, you read through it, you know, take a look at who's on the board. Okay. Take a look, not only the board, but take a look who is actually behind the entity or behind the organization. Who are these guys and gals? What are they doing? What is their background? Are they real? Are they in some country you've never even heard of that might make you nervous? But a lot of countries like Belarus, you know, are trying to bring as many, you know, people, crypto enthusiasts there because they're trying to be, you know, they want it to become like a hub, or like Malta. You know, I didn't even know what Malta was until, you know, 10 years ago. I have some businesses that are related to that. I didn't even know what Malta was. So, you know, do some basic due diligence. I do talk about that in my book, Crushing Crypto, how to do it, you know, read the white paper, do some basic thing. But it is an amazing opportunity. Some of the things that you put your money in, you're going to lose. Some of the things you put your money in, you're going to win. It's just a matter of how risk averse you are. So Tony Robbins said it, all these other, you know, Tony Robbins, and, you know, he's more of a, you know, a motivational guy, but a lot of financial guys have said, don't put anything in you're not willing to lose.
And what are your top three ways of making money in crypto? I know that one of them is just invest in crypto and right. use some common sense and all of that. You can invest in Bitcoin, but you can also invest in ICOs, but, you know, carefully read and understand and be unstupid before you invest. So again,
yeah. Okay. So the first thing, the first thing, the easiest thing, right, is buying and holding. That's simple, right? So yeah. You open up a wallet, you buy it, you hold it, and you don't, you know, you're gonna drive yourself crazy like I do. I probably do. In fact, this morning I woke up, I told myself I was not gonna look at my Coinbase account, because, you know, and I'm glad I didn't, because Bitcoin dipped. You know, so you wake up and you're emotionally all messed up. So the easiest way is buy it and hold it. Buy it and then just know and recognize that you're not going to trade it, especially if you use Coinbase, because Coinbase app or the Coinbase exchange is not really a place where you want to trade. They have a platform called GDAX, which is tied to it, right? So the first thing is buy and hold. That's first the easiest way, okay? The second way, and also why I got really, really excited about this, and some people may disagree with me, and I believe is still a great opportunity, is mining. Now, to mine from your house with your laptop right now is not a reality. It's just, it was, you know, 7-8 years ago, and it was great. You plug in your laptop and you come home and all of a sudden you get 50 Bitcoin and you're like, wow, you know, so, you know, then it wasn't worth anything. Now it's worth, you know, millions. You know, I think mining is also a great opportunity. If you do it right, there are ways to get involved with other mining operations. I think that's a cool thing. I'm building out a mine. I don't bring people into our mining operation, but there are ways to do it. You can do it from home. Some of the mining equipment that is being custom built can be actually used at your home. People say, well, what about the electricity? And my response to the electricity argument is like, well, if it's greater than your electric bill, then it's a plus, you know? And if it's a break even, it's still a plus. And even if it's a little bit of loss, it's still a plus, especially if you're in it for the long term, right? And then obviously trading. Look, I'm not a trader. You know, I actually have a team that work for me that are former Forex guys, currency trader guys, that have really kind of taken their methodologies and incorporated that into the trading of cryptocurrency. My trading techniques are somewhat really basic. I talk about that actually in my book as well. So I think that those are the top three ways, you know, but you know, then it's okay. Well, again, even more long term, if you have the type of resources, and even if you don't, you know, throw $100 at an ICO, right? Or take a look at some. If you're a sophisticated investor, if you're an accredited investor, and you want to get involved in this world, take a look at what some of these companies are doing and get in early. You know, if you're somebody that has $1 million that you're used to investing maybe on an annual basis, like that's your threshold. You say, well, I'm going to invest $1 million a year, just whatever it is, 100,000, 50,000, whatever the number is. Take a look at not necessarily cryptocurrency, but take a look at blockchain technology and what these companies are doing, and then decide whether or not you want to put some of your money in that. That last one is probably the highest risk reward there is. You know, it's like, it is like investing in Apple, you know, before they even were Apple. That's what we're talking about here. And, you know, when you hear about the returns of Bitcoin and Bitcoin since day one up, you know, 200,000% or something crazy like that, that will happen again in the world of cryptocurrency. It's just a matter of which one.
Awesome. Awesome. Great advice. So any questions I was, you know, that you were hoping I would ask, any other points you wanted to communicate to the listeners, any caveats?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just kind of what I said almost in the beginning. I'm not sure if we were recording or not. You know, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be on here. And I just want people to pay attention. You know, whether you think I'm a fast talking guy from Boston who doesn't know what he's talking about. I've been on some podcasts and, you know, people say, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, I kind of do. Especially when it relates to business and also when it relates to opportunity. This truly is the biggest opportunity of your life. You're living in it. You don't want to be that person with that, what I call that if I had a only syndrome. It's really, really sad to me. You don't, just because Bitcoin right now is trading at, you know, 9,000 and then, you know, when it goes up or down or whatever it is, doesn't mean you need $9,000, $6,000, $10,000, $20,000. You can buy as little as $5 in Bitcoin. So, and that goes for almost pretty much every cryptocurrency. So don't be afraid of it. Pay attention to it. Get involved in it. You know, listen to podcasts like this. That's also a great thing. You know, the podcasting is, you know, I listen to other podcasts to help me learn about, you know, what cryptocurrency is and why it's important. So that's also a part of my education. You know, I'm a sales guy, and you and I were talking about, you know, the book The Go-Getter earlier. I've had an opportunity to spend some time with Zig Ziglar. He's passed away, but, you know, he wrote the book See You at the Top, and you know, I had dinner with him. I went to his birthday, and, you know, He talks about his secretary back in the day, and she had her PhD from Automobile University. She used to put in tapes. They don't have tapes anymore. Now that is just passed on to podcasting. So when you're driving, I do a lot of driving these days. When you're driving, you know, I love Howard Stern. I listen to Howard Stern. I listen to, you know, I'm old school hip hop guy. I listen to hip hop here and there. But if you're driving and you want to learn about something, take advantage of the technology that exists. Take advantage of the free stuff that exists, which are podcasts. If you don't understand cryptocurrency, listen to this podcast. You know, I'm sure you have some of them from your past that are a lot more like, hey, what is Bitcoin type stuff, right? I listened to some of your stuff before. And so listen to this. Go back. Listen to every single one of them. Learn about it. And whether you're driving and not fully comprehending it, you actually are. You just don't know it yet. You know, so just start there. Take advantage of that free stuff that's out there. You know, if I had to give people advice about where to go for information other than picking up my book or whatever, take advantage of the free podcasts that are out there. There are also some other ones that aren't really the best. I think yours is great because there is a lot of, it's very diverse as far as the type of information, you know, so, you know, take advantage of it. Start from the very beginning, start from his first podcast and move all the way forward. And then, you know, go from there and move on to other stuff as well.
Thank you, Mike. And absolutely. I think every listener, if they don't already have a wallet, I think they should get a wallet and they should buy $100 worth of Bitcoin and put it inside of that. I think just for the sake of learning, that's a phenomenal thing to do. And I love your idea about just on a daily basis. I do that all the time. I just never thought about telling that to other people. But I think listening to one podcast today in general and making some of them about crypto, I think is a wealth building opportunity. Thank you very much, Mike, for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptoknights.io.